Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and you are listening to a new episode. So in today's episode, we return to our series on entrepreneurship with a conversation with Melissa Stefaniak. If you have been listening to the podcast for a while, you know we've done a few interviews now focused on this topic of entrepreneurship and the executive formats of the Darden MBA. If you're new to the podcast and you haven't had a chance to listen to those episodes, I encourage you to go back and check them out. Lots of good content. Lots of good interviews. Talked with Sarita Saltz about career resources available to students who are interested in starting their own business. We also talked with current students Corbin Norman, Craig Van Bremen, as well as Aaron Breitzke. So lots of good conversations, particularly if you're focused on entrepreneurship and you're interested in the executive formats of the Darden MBA. But for now, my conversation with Melissa Stefaniak. Melissa is an MBA format student in our class of 2019 in our Charlottesville section. She is spending the summer in the iLab. This is the incubator at Darden. And she is working on developing her business, Single Bake Sweets. And I sat down to talk with Melissa a little bit more about what it's like to be starting this business. This is a passion she's had, as you will note from our conversation. It's a passion she's had for a while, prior to business school even. And so now she's here, she's at Darden, she's working on her business, and we talked a little bit more about how it's going. So without further ado, my conversation with Melissa. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Brett.
So you actually, we are sitting here in Roslyn on the 31st floor, brand new facility here. It's Global Quarter, and you're here taking FMP, Financial Management Practices.
Is that
what it stands for, all these acronyms? Also, Ethics, and you've got a Leadership Exploration course. So busy quarter for you. Mm-hmm. So how's everything going?
Yeah, I mean, it's going well. I think the biggest takeaway in that introduction is, wow, time has flown by. It's actually, I'm partly getting really sad that it's going to be over before I know it. But the program's been great and the experience has been awesome. And it's really just kind of elevated. Darden does a fantastic job just giving us opportunities to really explore who we want to be and where we want to go. And I'm really getting a lot out of the experience so far.
So I can remember when we met in New York. Gosh, it seems like yesterday. I want to say this because this is probably the hippest thing that will ever be said on the podcast. We were sitting in the lobby of the Ace Hotel, New York City,
so
Chelsea, right there. That's us. And you office hour meeting. You were talking about your interest in getting an MBA, and now you're here on the Exec MBA podcast. And one of the things that we discussed during that meeting, I still remember it, was your entrepreneurship idea. This business that you wanted to start, Single Bake Sweets. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah,
idea.
Absolutely. And thanks for remembering all that time ago. Yeah, it's really been my whole goal in coming back to get my MBA, and especially at Darden, is to start my business, Single Bake Sweets. And the concept is single serve bake at home desserts that come with all the pre-measured ingredients and the bakeware. Essentially, there's nothing missing, and it's foolproof baking for one, with real ingredients. So I've had this idea rolling around in my head for quite some time, and I've been experimenting in my own kitchen just to see if it could be done. And coming and deciding to go back to school was a huge part of me making that first step forward to start the business and get the skills that I need to be successful in, you know, creating a startup, something out of nothing.
What's been fun and exciting is to watch you go from the conversation that we had, a couple years ago at this point, to go from that conversation to the E-Cup, right? You did the Entrepreneurship Cup, UVA's entrepreneurial competition, to now you're in the iLab. So we get this question all the time from prospective students who have this entrepreneurial interest about being in the iLab, and you're doing it. So talk a little bit about how you got to this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's been fantastic. And I'm actually surprised just in retrospect thinking about, knowing why I came, to Darden specifically, which was for the entrepreneurial resources, knowing that they had the series of competitions that I could get plugged into to really validate my idea, put it out there, pitch it, get feedback. That was essential, you know, key ingredient of, you know, why I chose Darden was for these types of resources and competitions. And to now be, you know, 1 year in and having the opportunity to participate and get so much out of what there is here to, that they have for entrepreneurs has been fantastic. I've really, gotten plugged in. I know the E-Cup is just one of the ways in which Darden supports entrepreneurs. And that was fantastic. I did at least the concept competition and I was a finalist in their second round, which is the discovery competition. And I got, you know, validation through that experience, pitching to judges, other students, professors who were in the room, getting feedback, and really just early validation that, hey, there's something to this idea, which only gave me more momentum to keep going, and then apply to get into the iLab, which is the 10-week incubator program, at Darden in Charlottesville, where you get dedicated workspace, you know, mentorship, a $5,000 grant, and just an entire network of Darden alumni and current other incubator companies that are there to one-on-one support you to really get this started. Like whatever your business might be, they just throw everything at you from workshops and speakers, and just the mentorship opportunities to ensure like you're thinking through every avenue. And even if you're not ready to necessarily kind of take all the advice, they're giving you so much that you can really start to lay serious groundwork and make real traction. So, you know, for Single Baked Sweets, I've formed an LLC. I've been able to actually go to market with my first product in the last 3 weeks, being in the iLab. So it's such an accelerator to starting a business. It's been awesome.
So, the next step after the iLab for you would be to officially go to market. Is that right?
Well, yeah. So I have three products right now that, you know, although they're not perfect, I've learned through the initial 4 weeks in the iLab that their goal is to get you to customers and get you to market as fast as possible. Because essentially, it's really the only way to really test, you know, does your idea have value and merit? And can it be done? And the faster you can get out there and test that and get real customers to buy it, the more will grow from that. And so I did my first farmer's market last weekend, and sold out of the product that I brought. I had 32 units and sold out entirely, which was, again, just super validating and hopefully encouraging. And what comes next is I know for the rest of the summer, I want to do as many of those types of direct sales events, get as much customer feedback as I can, which is always the hard part, and see how, you know, figure out the strategy, what comes next. You know, right now it's direct sales, but, you know, maybe over time with some investment, it can move into other distribution channels like retail or e-commerce.
So tell us a little bit about your product line at current, and how did you arrive at this place where you have this particular suite of products? Kind of curious about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's such a interesting kind of thought experience for myself is that I ended up just experimenting in my own kitchen. So I, you know, been living in New York City for 7 years, but I love to bake. And so, you know, not having the access to a lot of counter space or storage, it really limits that enjoyment that I would get from baking because I'd have to take out my mixer and I'd have to store all these ingredients and it was super cumbersome, let alone, you know, it's just my husband and I. So we'd have huge cakes and huge, you know, brownie pans or cookies and we'd end up eating that for a week or more at a time. And that's fun for like the first couple days, but then you get kind of bored and you end up throwing it out. And so my whole kind of entry into this was, well, it'd be great not to waste food. It would also be great just to make one so that, you know, you have the portion control. And so I just started tinkering around with my own recipes to see, could I take a massive quantity dessert and just make it, you know, just kind of downsized into a single serving. And so there were many iterations of things that didn't taste very good because I don't have a food science background. I'm not a chef. I'm just a at-home baker. And eventually it created some recipes. I have three right now that I've tailored so that they don't include egg. Because really, when you think about the concept of a single serve dessert, it's, you know, smaller quantities. And, you know, when you're baking, it includes perishable ingredients like egg. But in order to safely hand these kits out to people to get them to try it and validate, hey, would you make a single serving portion of a dessert? I had to figure out a safe way so they wouldn't get sick. So I re-engineered some of them to not include egg. And so through kind of, again, just all just having fun, focusing on like, I'm just doing this because I enjoy it and I'm just curious, not putting a lot of pressure on whether it would be an actual business. And in doing that, one step leads to another. You get somebody to say, hey, this is actually pretty good, or hey, I'd like to try that. What else do you have? That's kind of been the momentum and the process from day one. It's just focusing on, you know, having fun, seeing if it can be done, seeing if other people respond to it. And then, like I said, from a operational perspective, how can I execute this within my means right now, right? So not having packaging that's safe to transport egg, let me see if I can take the egg out of it and then, you know, bring something safe to market. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of been my approach.
Yeah. So competition in the space, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you got some pretty big players out there. So how do you think about your angle in light of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I know for sure Betty Crocker, who everybody is very familiar with, including myself, they have mug cakes. So that's a very popular thing. And for folks who may use Pinterest, that was very wildly popular. I've tried and experimented with making single serve desserts in a mug that you can just have a few ingredients and throw it in your microwave. And in a minute, you know, you get something fresh, and or I shouldn't say fresh, but you get something hot, mm-hmm. you know, and sweet. And so, you know, the whole difference with something like a Betty Crocker mug cake and single baked sweets is that our product delivers quality ingredients. They're real. So it's mm-hmm. going to be made with things that you're familiar with. You're going to be able to identify there's flour in it. There's powdered sugar, there's butter, you know, there's chocolate chips, everything on the package in terms of ingredients, you're going to know, and it's going to feel and taste just like something you would make at home. So nothing fake or processed, nothing that you can't, you know, pronounce.
So, so you have, tell me specifically, like you have cake, you have a cookie. I mean, what's out there? So what are you selling at the farmer's market in Charlottesville?
Yeah, at the farmer's market, I had three product types. I had a chocolate chip cookie. I had a magic cookie bar, which is I rebranded as a layered cookie bar because I think magic is associated with another brand. So I couldn't use that name. I didn't want to try. So I have a layered cookie bar with like walnuts, chocolate, coconut, and a graham cracker crust. And my third product was a s'mores pie. So again, what is great about each of those is that, you know, they don't include the egg. So the only real kind of, you know, perishable element is that butter, but butter has a long shelf life. So mm-hmm. again, it was just kind of problem solving around what do I have within my means right now to try to really test this idea in the market. And so seeing as I don't have a lot of resources and my packaging's not up to par, I can actually create these recipes and really validate, will people buy single serving kind of bake at home dessert kits?
Well, there's something about limitation that forces you to think creatively, right? So if you say, well, this, I can't do this, it forces, you have to solve for that problem, right? And it pushes you a little bit. If you have like the entire world, you can do anything, and it's hard to think of what you might do. But if you impose a limitation on yourself, it's sometimes a spark, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And at Darden, I'm just kind of getting into this, and we will, I know, be exploring this in the future electives that I take. But one of the courses is around effectuation, which one of the professors at Darden really coined and did a lot of theory and research around. And it's all about what do you have within your means as an entrepreneur or wherever you sit within an organization to solve a problem. You know, you start with what you know and you start with what you have. And from there, you get commitments from other people who might have other talents or resources that can add to it. It's easier to say than it is to do, I feel like. I'm always, you know, starting out in this process. It's you want to take and, you know, not be afraid to ask for others to come along with you on this process. And so learning how to, you know, make a effectuation ask is part of that learning process, but it's critical because it then allows you to, again, expand with limited means and limited resources how to solve a problem, how to actually address it, and allow it to take different forms and shapes, which is also hard to do and let go of what your ideal version of your product might be.
Well, you have no shortage of classmates to call on, right? So that's the nice thing about the program in many ways. And we stress this with prospective students. You have a consultancy available to you, right? And it's been fun to see your classmates' enthusiasm for your startup, right? And I'm on the class Facebook group because, well, we started it, but it's got its own life now. And see some of your classmates, you know, posting about, oh, you know, Melissa's got a Facebook page now, and some of the marketing that you've been doing. So it's been fun.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Like, that's another resource I didn't realize I would necessarily have coming in to the program, is just this entire network of experts in their own domains. And I don't have the same skills as half of the class. And so when I do have a question about accounting, I know exactly who to call. In fact, I have several people to call. And that's been critical because, again, you know, starting out, it saves me so much time and money to have to not find an accountant. I can just go ask my, you know, friend Keith, and he'll, you know, call me back and help me kind of think through this particular challenge. And so that's been phenomenal to have that support, but also just the free talent to kind of tap into.
Well, it helps to also have an accountant on your speed dial who understands confection business anyhow, right?
So, and that's Keith.
Yeah. So for our listeners at home, Keith worked in gelato business and may still work in the gelato business. He just recently moved up to New York. So that's exciting. So, so we talk a lot about the case method as a good training for someone who wants to lead an organization, right? Because at its core, the case method puts you in the position of C-suite leader, senior executive that has to make a difficult decision. And have you found that to be the case with what you're trying to do here, starting your own business?
Yeah, I mean, the parallels are obvious. So, you know, one of the aspects in Darden that they also illuminate for you is they do a lot of assessments and tests and, about who you are as a person and how, you know, some of the traits and the motivators or the interests that you have, the skills, you know, reflect in your decision making or the roles in which you choose. And so, for me, I found that I was a green, which is not a stretch. And now that I have that information, I realize how to compensate for some of those, traits as a green that make me, you know, probably not what I would presume to be a leader. But, you know, having the case method, everybody is essentially at the same playing field because you get the case, you know, everybody reads it, you prepare in your learning team, and everybody brings to the table something different. And so you get to not only defend your position, but you get to hear from everybody else based on their experience, their background, or their color. How would they handle that particular situation? And you don't get to opt out. You know, you don't typically get a chance to say, well, I'm going to sit this one out. The case method is very, participatory. So you have, you get cold called perhaps every now and then, or you, they ask you to vote. What would you do in this situation? And, you got to stick your hand up and say, I'm going to do this, or I would have done this. And then we go through the class to really defend that. And so having the opportunity over and over again to presume that role where I would be the decision maker has only given me more confidence as, starting a new business and having to be in that leadership role right now as a team of one, but eventually as I hope to grow the business and bring on other talent, just gives me more confidence and more opportunity to really stretch and understand, you know, how would I behave in those situations and what works and, you know, what other thoughts there might be in the room, you know, or who else should I look for to have in a board, you know, to help me make the best decision.
So, as you think about sort of this summer, you got a lot going on, sounds like, you're at the farmer's market. What sort of, you're asking for direct feedback. You have more farmers markets. Are you hitting the road? Are you going anywhere? So tell us what's next for Single Baked Sweets.
Yeah, absolutely. So my plan is to do as many direct sales events. So typically that's the farmers markets because they're affordable to get into. Mm-hmm. And just allows me to directly interact with customers. So my next one that I'm planning to get into is on the 7th of July. It'll be the City Market in Charlottesville. And then I'll plan to do that one as the next weekend and the next weekend through August while I'm down in Charlottesville. And then I'm looking at other ones. So kind of heavily focused in the remainder of my time in the iLab at kind of getting sales and collecting customer data. Mm-hmm. And then I think from there thinking about, well, what, you know, becomes the strategy after this, because I don't see this just being as a farmer's market sure. product. I hope to evolve and grow it into something that can either sit on a shelf at the store, or something through e-commerce. So there's a lot of steps that happen in between there, but, that's kind of like the overarching goal. So.
Have you considered a dessert subscription model?
Yes, I have. So what was great about the farmer's market is I did see that there were people buying multiple. I had three different products, so they would buy one of each. So again, I think it gets to the fact that, you know, with single serving desserts that you can make yourself and you can store in your fridge, they last for 2 weeks, kind of like your yogurt. There's no, you know, urgency to make it tonight. You can make it in your toaster oven. So again, less, you know, energy use. And you can have a different dessert every night. And it's homemade. It's real ingredients. There's nothing not to like about it.
It's a winner. It's definitely a winner. So,
this is the goal, is world domination. One dessert at a time.
Is that on the t-shirt somewhere? Is that on the package?
I should try.
So as an entrepreneur, do you study other entrepreneurs? Do you listen to How I Built This or any of that kind of stuff?
Do. So How I Built This is one of my favorite podcasts. And then there's another one by Rent the Runway called Project Entrepreneur, Project Entrepreneur Tools, I think, is another podcast, which is just great to hear other people who are trying to do something, even if it's not business related, if it's an art project or people with innovations and, you know, new ideas and don't have any sense of like, where's this going to go? But we're just going to keep doing it. I think that's just really validating, because as an entrepreneur, you don't know if it's going to work out and you don't have any sense of a future. You have a vision for where you want to go to, but you don't have that proof that, you know, you can get there. So it's just encouraging to listen to other people and hear how they've struggled and failed. And it's part of the process, and you can just get right back up and keep going.
Yeah, resiliency is the word, or resilience, I suppose, is maybe the better word, is the word that always comes to mind when I listen to these people's stories. I'm like, people assume it's just this very linear thing. You had this idea, it came to you, you're on Shark Tank, all of a sudden you made, you know, millions of dollars. It's obviously not like that. I mean, there's ups, downs, a real story arc to all of it. Even what seem like the best ideas in the world takes a while.
Oh, definitely. It's the whole like misconception of the overnight success. Mm-hmm. It's really like a 10-year overnight success.
Right.
You know, everybody only hears about you when you finally arrived, but typically it's a long slog to get there.
Totally, totally. So, well, Melissa, thank you so much for being here. We wish you every success this summer at the farmer's market, the iLab. It's obviously very exciting for you to be at this point. And like I said, it's been a real thrill for me and for all of us to know you as a budding entrepreneur when you were a prospective student and sort of looking at the program, and obviously to see you really seize upon the opportunities at Darden. So good luck, and thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks, Brett.
And that was my conversation with Melissa Stefaniak, an MBA format student in our class of 2019. Of course, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the Exec MBA podcast, we're all ears. Hit us up at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening.